Good morning. My God. I want to start off by saying and thanking the committee for inviting me here. You have no idea, committee, that how much you have lifted me up this year. It has been a very difficult year for me, and the committee lifted me up. They actually had me to sing at the convention, which I thought it was the AA Got Talent, but they told me, no, it was a convention that was Lisa, and I was like, oh, no. I was never so honored. And I'm just so grateful to the committee for having me here. I'm an alcoholic, and my name is Cheryl.
I'm Cheryl.
And my name is Cheryl Fox, and the reason why I want to say Cheryl Fox is because you'll know why after doing my story. I got married to a fox. I got rid of the husband, but I kept the name. Kind of suit me, you know, so I figured I'll keep the name, you know. But my sobriety date is February 8, 2001. And I am truly a grateful alcoholic today. I want to start off by telling you that I had a great family. We had five of us. There was five siblings. My mother was a praying mother. I had a praying mother. But I had a father who was also an alcoholic. And he thought he was, on the weekends, Mighty Mouse. He would drink and fight. Very abusive to my mother. But again, too, she was a praying mother. So I really learned to accept God and love God the way she loved God. But on the other hand, all five of the siblings, it was five of us, I was in the middle. And today, I'm really blessed that I was in the middle. I have five sisters. I had three sisters and one brother. They all passed away from this disease. As a matter of fact, today is my oldest sister's birthday, October 21st, but she died almost 10 years ago from this disease. I had a brother who was also 40 years old. He died about 12 years ago from this disease. And in March of this year, my youngest sister, Regina, 61 years old, died from this disease. But it's sad. But on the other hand, you know, I am the miracle. I really try to share this program with them. Some of us get it, some of us don't. And today, I can stand here before you and tell you that I am truly, truly grateful. I'm going to give you a little bit of my how it was. The family was good, but my father was a truly alcoholic, and I never wanted to be like him, But I ended up being like my father. Today, I could respect. I didn't like him because he was an alcoholic and because he was so abusive. I didn't like him because he was like that to my mother. But today I understand that he had a disease. I didn't know then what I know now about alcoholism. And today he's forgiven. I have forgiven him for all the things that I thought he did wrong. But I grew up, my family is basically from the Bahamas. So you know when you're from the islands, how it is when it comes to drinking. I don't know why I was surprised that we all were alcoholics, because that's how we were brought up, to drink. Have a good time. I got married after I finished high school. My thing was, in high school, I was a lack of self-esteem, low self-esteem of myself. I was a big girl. I was a dark girl. I just didn't like me. I thought maybe because of all of my friends that I went to high school with, they were prettier. They were just gorgeous in my eyes. You know, but today when you look back, I realized that being a big girl and a dark girl was probably my best asset, some of them anyhow, today, you know. That's why they call me the fox. I'm going to keep coming back to that. But anyway, I graduated from high school. I got married because that was the thing to do, to get married, and I moved back to the Bahamas with my husband. I had a daughter. I was there for at least 8 years, but he was also an alcoholic. I didn't know that then, but but I do know it now. He was very abusive, and I had to leave. So I left with my daughter, and I came back home with my mother, and I raised my daughter as a single parent. I did go back to school, became a therapist, and I have been doing that for the last 38 years, which I love my job because it's always giving back and doing something and helping someone, and that is a part of me, is to give back love and to do the best that I can for everyone. I try, at least I do try. My faith, which I got from my mother. I was brought up in the Catholic school. Didn't like the nuns too much because they used to beat me all the time. You know, for something that I did. I don't know what I did. But I just didn't, but the Catholic school background was good. It's just that I guess it was orderly and I was not orderly. Didn't want to do what they tell me to do. It started from a small age, but that too, I outgrew that. And I became a very good student in school. Like I said, I graduated. I'm a therapist, but my life went on. So after I left my husband, that's when my drinking started. I came home, started to party with my girlfriends on the weekend. Because I was working, I had a lot of time. Take my daughter everywhere, but the party was always at Cheryl's house. Let's go to the Fox house. The Fox. I drank so much. I was a very good mother, though. I must say today that I was a good mother. Through it all, I raised her on my own. I was the best mother that I could be with the drinking. But when I look back, I could have been better. But today, she always says, Mom, you were a very good mom, so I couldn't have been too bad. But I did do my share of drinking. The party was always, always at my house every weekend. I would work, come home, and drink. Work, come home, and drink. I became an isolated drinker, though. I loved it. Once I got home, the weekends was for the girls, but during the week was for Cheryl. And I would just drink myself crazy during the week. After I put the kid to bed, she went to school. I got up every morning. I did everything I had to do. But that nighttime was my time, and I would just drink. I was such an isolated drinker when I look back. And it continued. It just progressed. It just got worse every day. And I kept saying, oh, my God, I'm going to be like my father. I'm an alcoholic. Oh, my God, how can I stop? I had come to the conclusion that I really needed to stop, but I didn't know how. And I didn't know what to do or where to go. And that's where it just got worse. It was black. It was black. And it was amazing because I would work every single day. I never missed a day from work. It's amazing that I actually went to work every day. Never thought people knew that I was drinking. But one of my friends and one of the employees, the nurse supervisor, said, she called me in one day and she said, Cheryl, I smell alcohol on you. You know, and I was like, who, me? No. Said, you sure? She said, yes, Cheryl, it is. And I realized that my job was going to be in jeopardy if I didn't do something about it. That was one person that knew. And the reason why they didn't know that I was, or at least I felt like they didn't know I was drinking, was because every day I went to work, I had scrubs. I'm telling you guys, I would press these scrubs. They looked like business suits. I'm telling you, I had the matching accessories to go with it, everything. Looking gorgeous every day and walking and stepping high. But I was loaded every day. I did my job. I did it well. At least I did it well. But one morning, I went to work, and I remember every morning I would look in the mirror and I would just cry because I was just so sad because I couldn't stop. I couldn't shake the drinking part of it, and I would just cry. But one morning I went to work, and for some reason, I got made up. At least I thought I was made up, but I was not. I had one side of my face made up. Beautiful, makeup on, gorgeous. And I got in my car and drove to work. No problem. Never noticed it. Never. Got to work, and people were looking at me very strange. And I was like, but I couldn't figure it out. I said, I wonder why. Maybe just because I'm looking nice. And so I happened to go to the bathroom. And I happened to look up, and I scared myself. I looked up and one side of the face was plain and the other one had all the shadows. Go figure. And I was like, oh my God. So what I did was I put on the other half, went to work, left work, and the first thing I did when I went to work and got off from work was went straight to the bar and got me another pint of gin. I was a gin and juice girl, loved gin and juice. Stopped by, and that's okay. I'll stop drinking today, never stop drinking. It just got worse. Every day it got worse. Every day it got worse. And I decided, and my sister, who passed away this year, she and I, that was my drinking partner. She and I would drink and drink and drink until the next day, but we would always fight. She would come to my house, and because she was younger, she thought she was the oldest, and she wanted to always beat me up at the end. Mind you, I bought the booze, but she wanted to beat me up afterwards, you know, and I was like, enough of this. I've had enough. I can't keep drinking like this and fighting with her. And I decided that at the age of 46, I had to stop drinking. I had to stop drinking. And I didn't know how. I went, and that was after the nurse said that I needed to stop drinking. And I asked a friend of my coworkers, said, listen, the nursing supervisor said she smelled alcohol on me. She said, yes, Fox. She said, yeah, you're my friend. I just didn't know how to tell you. But every day you come to work, you smell like alcohol. And I was like, but why didn't you tell me? She says, because the way you go sometimes, we don't want to say too much of anything to you. So, and I realized that I really had a drinking problem, and if not, I was going to lose my job. And that was the only thing I had that was going for me that can make me continue to actually work, drink, and take care of my daughter. So if I lost my job, I was in big trouble. So I had to do something about it. So I decided that I was going to go to a psychologist to talk my problems away, because I had plenty of problems. I was very depressed. I was a single parent. I had this going on and that going on. And sure enough, I made an appointment. I went and I went to his office and he said, come in. And I went in. He told me to sit down in the chair, and I sat down in the chair. And I thought, maybe now, when is he going to let me lay on the sofa? But he never pointed me to the sofa. And I was like, why not? And I said, why can't I lie down? I got plenty of problems. He said, ma'am, I really don't think. He said, do you drink? All right, do you drink? And I said, yes, I do. On the weekends, I drink. Yes, I do. He said, well, how much do you drink? Well, you know, as an alcoholic, it's only an 8-ounce glass. That's about all we drink. But, of course, mine was probably tripled every single day. So he said, I think you have a drinking problem. And I said, I really don't think so. He said, I really do think so. He said, do me a favor. Try something for me. I said, what is that? He said, I want you to go to St. Matthew's Church in Hallandale. They have an AA meeting there. He said, just try it. Just go. If it works for you, it'll work for you. If it doesn't, then we'll do something else. Sure enough, I took his advice, and I went. The first AA meeting, I must say, was the best thing that I could have done. I felt hope when I walked into that AA meeting that these people here were here to help me. I didn't know, but before I walked in, it was three gorgeous guys on the outside. And of course, like I said, I'm Fox. So of course, I knew I was going to blow their minds when I walked out of the car. Mind you, I had a drink before I went to the meeting, but I was just still going to, you know. And sure enough, it was three guys out there, the only three guys that were out in the parking lot. And I asked, was this an AA meeting? And they said, yes, it is. And I said, this is my first time there. And the guy gave me a big book, wrote all the telephone numbers in the back of the book just for me. And I was like, yes, I got them. I'm going to call one of them. Just wait. You know? Sure enough, it was the first meeting I went into in Alcohol Anonymous. And I must say that it saved my life. It was the best meeting I went to. I cried all the way home. Like, these people are here to help me. I don't know who they are, but they told me to come back, and I will go back. And I kept going back. And I went back, and I went back. And it's an older man there. He said, honey, you haven't seen anything yet. you keep coming and you'll see how much your life will get better. And I was like, yeah, right. But I did, for some reason, I believed them. I believed them. And they, and my sponsor, and I got a sponsor that told me to sit down, shut up. You had nothing to say. And I was like, well, who the hell is she talking to? I mean, really? That's not how you really talk to people. But she was absolutely right. Let me tell you, I sat down and I shut up for the first 2 years of my sobriety. I never had anything to say. I only listened. I started off at Woman Honesty. I sat in the back of the room for the first 2-3 years and didn't open up my mouth. But those women had so much good advice. They offered so much hope until I just kept going back every Monday. And I kept going back. And I realized that I was in the right place. You know, when I walked up to the AA meeting, I remember saying, I got out of the car and I felt as if God had taken my hand and walked me through those doors. I will tell anyone that because I believe that's exactly what happened to me. He took me in and said, this is where you belong. He actually saved a ranch like me. I really do believe that to today. It was the best decision I could have made. Woman Honesty became my home group until after a while I was like, okay, they cry too much there. I can't keep going back there. I'm making them kind of depressed. They kind of cry a lot. But it wasn't that they were crying a lot. I understood their pain because I had the same pain. It's just that I wouldn't let mine out at that time. Life has gotten so much better since I joined AA. It really has. I believe. I don't know what to do with my sister passing away. It took me for a loop this time because she was one that I wanted to get this program so badly. I mean, I'm sober for 17 years. I think I started with her when I was 16 years sober. And 16 years went by and she never got this program. And the result is, you know, my sponsor says, and she introduces herself, that I'm Nancy, I'm an alcoholic. I have a disease that wants to kill me. And I never understood that. And why would she say something like that? But today I do understand that this disease will kill you. I'm living proof. It invaded my whole entire family, basically. My father also died from alcoholism. You know, so I have 4 out of 5 people from my family that passed away from this dreadful disease. But what I must say today is because I go to meetings, I'm here to help. Whenever someone reaches out the hand for AA, I'm there. I'm always there. I've actually started doing service. I've always been I was a GSR for 5 years at one group. I don't know, 5 years. I thought that's all. That's the only way. My daughter said to me today, I said, well, I'm a guest speaker at the lake. And she says, oh, Mom, you're doing well. You're moving up. Moving up? And I laughed. I was like, oh, my gosh. She says, you're doing really well, Mom. But my daughter never believed that I was an alcoholic. She never thought I had a problem with drinking. It was because I was a mom that did everything that needed to be done. But today, and my granddaughter is, I have a granddaughter that's 19. She never saw me drink because I started in the year 2001, and she was 4 years old. She went to every single AA meeting with me. She loved the coffee and the donuts. Are we going to that place where we get coffee and donuts? Yes, we are. But let me tell you, the thing about this program is that it works. I did so many things. I think it was John that mentioned last night that he was a leaver. He left. I went to parties. I would drive to the parties, get round up all of my girlfriends, round up everyone to go to the parties. We get to the parties. I have a lot of drinking. We start drinking. I was a blackout drinker, though. That's what I realized. I was such a blackout drinker. I would take everybody to the party. We were having a great time. All of a sudden, I can't take anymore. What I would do is leave and go into my car and go in the back seat and go to sleep. Everyone kept looking for me, and they would come out. My girl, where the hell is Cheryl? Where did she go? I'm in the back seat out cold. And that was every party that I went to. And then I would sober up and then drive everybody else home. The next weekend, I would do the same thing. Drive them to the party, we dance a bit, I get full of booze, go right back into the car, and go back to sleep. Even with the guys, I would do the same thing. They were like, oh, damn, you know. I would drink up all their booze. Now they're ready, and I'm asleep. They were not happy, believe me. And it was amazing. That was the type of drinker I was, a blackout drinker. The next morning, I get up, shake it off, and go straight to work. It was amazing that I did that for so many years. It was amazing. When I look back, I was like, you didn't remember anything the night before. The next morning, you get up like nothing happened. It was amazing how many years I did that. You know, it was crazy. I had to stop. And then the bad part was is that I started to, like, mix loose, try and figure out what type of drink will make me drink. I won't get so drunk. I hated beer. It made me pee too much. I hated that. And it was terrible. And wine gave me a headache. I liked the hard stuff. Give me some gin, you know. I didn't like vodka because vodka, too, was another liquor that my sister drank a lot. And my sister, once she drank vodka, it looked like she became very violent. And she wanted to beat up the whole neighborhood. So, you know, I was like, well, I'm not drinking vodka. Forget vodka. I can't drink vodka. It makes you want to beat up everybody. And the thing about her was is that she became very strong. She would actually, one time they were trying to lock her up, and she wanted to try and pick up a car. You can't pick up a car when you're driving vodka. But that's the way she was. She was a very violent, very, very violent drinker. My father was violent. I was not. I was the nice one. I would get drunk, but I would have a party, cook all the food, invite all of my friends over. We would have a good time, but then I would black out on them and go straight to sleep. They're trying to figure out, where's the hostess? The hostess is gone. I'm in my bed. I leave people out. They're in my house. You can have a great time. But I would leave and go in my bed and go to sleep. And they're waking up like, Cheryl Fox, you got all these people out here. And I'm like, really? The party's not over yet? No, it was over for me because I couldn't drink anymore. I was a blackout drinker. I didn't realize how bad I was. And I had to stop. And I realized that this was something that was going on over and over and over. And I realized that I had a problem with alcohol, finally. It was the best thing that I could have done was realize. And then the shaking, trying not to drink. I'll drink for a week. I'll stop for a week. But I couldn't do it. I realized after going to work, I had to have a drink. It was one of those things I was like, oh, my God, I'm here. I got down on my knees. I prayed, God, take it away from me. Please help me, all kind of stuff. But I had to have that drink. I would go to sleep at nighttime, have my drink on the side of the bed, because, you know, in the morning, you need a little perker-upper. It's probably why, again, I missed half of my face because I needed that perker-upper. You know, it was insane. Alcohol was driving me insane. I actually thought I was going to go insane. As a matter of fact, I thought about suicide one time, but I was a little too chicken for that kind of crap. I was like, I'm not going to do that. Plus, but the thing that came to me was, if I commit suicide, what about my daughter? How will she live? It was there. I had that feeling about if I do that, what about her mom? What would she tell people? How would she be? Thank God that came to me, that vision came to me that if I did that, she would never have a mother. You know, so those kind of things, I had those flashbacks, those visions coming in, you know, that I had to do something. Today, I tell you, it is such a gift to have found this way of life. Like Paula said, I met Paula, and believe me, she really couldn't drive. She was terrible. We laughed at her for a while. But I met the nicest people in this program, and everyone was here for me. Everyone kept telling me to come back. You believe, but I did believe, and I do believe in that God is here in me and all of us to keep us sober. That's the only reason we're here. I know for sure that I'm a miracle. I know, from telling you guys about my family history, for me to stand here and tell you, and I have one more sister that's left out of five of us. She's the meanest person ever, let me tell you. She needs a drink. Sometimes I want to say, you need a drink. But I don't want to start the train rolling, so I leave that one alone. But she is the old one, the oldest sister that's left. Extremely mean, very, very mean. But I'm there for her as well. You know, I don't know. When it comes to sobriety, it's the best thing that I could have done for me. I keep saying that because I truly do believe that. And I do believe that God brought me here for a reason, for me to actually share. When I come to the lake, I love the lake. I go to meetings, I love meetings. People, some of them can be a little testy, but on the other hand, I'm not there to really judge anybody about our meetings. I'm not judgmental. I think loud, though. I have a problem with thinking loud. I do think loud, and you can tell on my face that, nah. But I know that I'm here to save me, save my life. It's not about anyone else. I'm here to give love, show love. You know, I went during my sister's funeral, the memorial, the pastor said, what am I going to do with the time that I have left? And I was like, what am I going to do with the time I have left? And that to me means that I'm, number one, to love everyone as much as I can, to help another alcoholic, to do service. I sing in the choir. I help. I work with women in distress. I just try and help. That's why I'm here. And I feel so good when I'm helping someone else because it keeps me out of myself. I heard something the other morning as well, that Michael Jackson is a pop star. But God, for my God, pops up everywhere I am. It's a good thing that he pops up everywhere I am because he saved me. Everywhere I go, God pops up. You know, and I'm like, wow, I'm blessed. Wherever, whatever danger, whatever I face, he pops up. He's there to help me through it. I mean, really, you know, it's amazing. This life, for me, especially this year, I have gone through not only the death of my sister, but some changes with my job. The first thing I went to was anger. But I realized that it was time for me to leave. God always has a way of showing you it's time to maybe move on. You know, when you're at a place for so many years, you know, you need to move on. It's younger people that are coming up and, you know, old farts like me need to move. You know, but it was the way they did what they did at the job to where I had to find a new source or a new job. But I said, God was so good until he gave me something even better than what I could have expected. Twice as better than what I was, and I'm working less. Probably why I look so much more relaxed at this point. You know, because I don't have to work so hard and bust my butt so hard anymore. My daughter is in she's works at Kaiser University. She's on the staff there at Kaiser University. My granddaughter is at Spelman University. She's studying law. She's my daughter was also in the Navy. My granddaughter is also in the Navy, and they're both studying. She's studying law at this point. She thinks that I'm the best grandma that you can ever find today. And I'm like, wow, if she only knew me before, but it was not her intention. It was not for her to know. This is the grandma that God wanted her to see today with someone like me. You know, when I come, again, you have no idea. I think that each and every one of you have a special place in my heart because I know you all. You know, I'm not rap type, but I'm likable. Now, I'm telling you now, you can look at, I'm not rap type, but I do believe that if you get to know me, you'll like me, you know, and I try to get to talk to everyone so that we can actually, I can actually share the love that I have for each and every one of you. You have no idea how much I really care, but I do care. Sometimes people look at me and say, oh, she thinks she's that. It's not true. They just didn't get a chance to really know me, and that's why make it my business now to go and speak to people so that they can actually see that I care for you. I try and smile. I smile every day. I smile so much that when I get home, I'm like, okay, that's enough. Because I smile at everyone, because a smile to me makes a big difference in someone's life, homeless or not. You can smile at someone, and you can also say hello. It doesn't take anything out of me to say hello to a guy that's homeless. It doesn't take anything for me to smile at someone that's homeless. A young lady that's out there begging for money, I give it to them. I don't care what they do to it. It doesn't have anything to do with what they do. I don't care. My thing is to love and to help. I am really, really, really honored to be here and to help and let you guys get a chance to know me. Paulette is my friend. As you know, we have the room. That's our room. You guys can't come into Azalea because you know that's all about us. You know it's all about us. You can't, you know, it's just certain ones can come in that room. It's all about us, you know. And it's amazing that every time we come here, 6:30 in the morning, we're all out with our devotion in the morning. That's what we come to do at the lake, is to get together 6:30 in the morning, have our coffee, and we go into prayer. And we talk and we share. You know, and at this particular point, I have so many people that I can share things with. Before, I was never a talker, and you never knew what was going on inside of me because I didn't want you to know. It was all I was raised, it all depends on how you look on the outside. That's not true. It all depends on how you feel in the inside that makes the outside look better. I've learned that here. But before I was brought up, you put the good stuff on the outside, to hell with what people think, and it's not true. It all depends on what happens inside, to where when you're on the outside, people know that you feel good. And I don't have to pretend anymore that I feel really bad, and I don't. Today, every morning I wake up and I say, this is another day in paradise, and you should hear the people grumble in my elevator. Like, really? What's so good about it? What's so good about it is, number one, I'm not drinking. Number two, I actually know what I'm doing. Number three, I know where I'm going. I never knew, even though I was taking my daughter to school every day, don't forget I was drinking. I was drinking, taking her to school every morning, putting her life in jeopardy every morning, driving her and four other girls to school. You know, today I can actually drive anywhere and don't have to worry about anything. I'm telling you guys, I was really a bad alcoholic. I am an alcoholic, but I'm better than what I was when I first came up. It was awful. It was pitiful. It was very pitiful to me. When I look back, I realize that, and I tap myself on the shoulder when I look in the mirror, because I used to look in the mirror every morning and just cry. Every morning I would cry. Because I was just so hurt that I had become an alcoholic and couldn't do anything about it. Even with the makeup on, it didn't matter. It was because the inside was so broken. You know, today I can actually put on makeup and feel good because the heart is good. The heart feels better. I'm in a good space, you know, and I tell you, I'm truly blessed to be here, and I'm very honored that you guys asked me to actually speak so that each and every one of you can get a chance to know me better. But I do know for sure that God is with me every step of the way. And that's only because, and this program made me realize how much I needed God even more. So even though I was brought up Catholic, had God, this program actually shows me, teaches me how important God is in my life each and every day. And if you believe that he will help you, he does. He has brought me through some times, and I'm still going through the death of my sister and trying to take care of all of her stuff. Each day I walk in her home, and I realize that this can be all gone in a day. It's amazing that she had all this beautiful stuff, and it was all gone in a day. And we tried so hard. And let me tell you, she had the, when I was cleaning her house this time, I happened to open up the air conditioner vent door a huge bottle of liquor was in there. And I'm like, oh my God, she forgot where she put that one. She really did. It was huge, a big bottle. I was like, oh my God. And I just saw that. And she would hide them all over the place. I would do the same thing. It was crazy. But today I can actually walk through it, do what I need to do. And she left me executive and trustee of her estate. But the reason why, and Paulette brought that to my attention, that she can actually trust me today. The rest of the family, she wasn't sure who can actually do or take care of the things that she needed to have done after she's left, to take care of her home, to make sure that her estate was taken care of. And I'm walking through that today, and that's only because of AA, that I can actually do this with honor and try and do what she asked. She wrote down everything. She gave me instructions to do, and I'm following everyone. And I always say it's only by the grace of God that I can actually do that, and because of this program. Because if I was still drinking, no way in the world would I have been able to do anything that she wanted me to do. So I tell you, thank you for letting me share my story with you. I'm truly honored and blessed that I got a chance to actually be here at the lake. And don't worry, you'll see me again, because I come back every year. Thank you.